Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Hey, we're back. Welcome to Friday, June the 12th. We're going to have a bit of a lighthearted show today. There's not really a lot of real estate news, and so we get to talk about a bunch of sort of slightly off, you know, the mark topics, which is always a little bit more interesting for us and hopefully for all the tens of thousands of you that listen to us every day. I was going to share these stats with you guys yesterday, so I'm going to share them with you now. Did I read this to them yesterday?
I did.
That's right. So if you didn't listen to the end of the podcast yesterday, I shared with you a lot of, I think, really amazing numbers about how the big brokerages are have grown or not grown in the last 12 months. And by big brokerages, I mean like Home Services and Realogy and Remax and Keller Williams and EXP. Looking at the different numbers and looking at the trajectory of what, you know, direction these companies are going, it's absolutely shocking the difference between what EXP's growth curve is and what everyone else's growth curve is. And in case you're not clear, which I had somebody tell us yesterday that they were not clear.
I know.
Julie and I are with EXP, and if you want to join our EXP group, you certainly can. I encourage you to contact us. I figured by now some of you guys would have read between the lines when we talk about EXP that we're definitely associated with EXP.
We're doing a podcast and we have a coaching business, and they don't necessarily understand that, yes, actively licensed, got to put my license somewhere too.
That's right.
And so, yeah, all of those things are true.
Right. So if you guys want to talk with us about joining our EXP family, just text me directly at 512-758-0206. All right, so Julie, do you want to talk about some of the craziness that's going on in the news, or do you just want to sort of maybe skip it and just focus on that?
Okay. We can start with some housing stuff to just kind of ramp them into the weirder things. But so Realtor.com, and let's see, there's a housing market recovery index now. So, you know, a lot of people are saying, how will you really know if we're in a housing recovery? What are the actual matrices? So, Realtor.com on Thursday released a new way to track the progress of the housing market amid the COVID-19 pandemic. It is called the Housing Market Recovery Index. And there are four different things that go into this index. All right, so in the U.S., the weekly index value is calculated as a weighted composite of four important components, including housing demand. That's based on Realtor.com online search activity. Only 10% of the index is based on that, so that's demand. Then you have home prices based on median list prices. That's 30% of it. Housing supply based on new listings. That's 30%. And the pace of sales, how quickly things are actually going to contract, based on median days on the market. That's 30%. So it's interesting that they have all these mixed things to watch, and they're not just saying, all right, well, we're going to base it just on how many new listings. They're blending it so that they've got some kind of way to track it. Okay. So you can read up more about that on a Housing Wire article. And generally, things are coming back pretty well. But of course, you all know that we are still lacking a lot of inventory, and that percentage of the index is dragging it down, and, as you would expect.
And there was a report, and we did share it with you guys first. What company was it that did that report that they're predicting there'd be nationwide depreciation in home values?
CoreLogic, I think.
CoreLogic, yeah. And we talked about that last week. Or maybe it was earlier this week. I don't know. We do podcasts every day. They all sort of blend.
Yes.
But the moral of the story was CoreLogic was expecting for only the third time in U.S. history that there was going to be a drop in home values next year. Their prediction of home value drop was only 2%. But for people, you guys listening, who have only known real estate sales during a time when values were always going up, that's going to mean you're going to need to learn how to adjust, because you're going to be walking into sellers' listing appointments where their expectations for what the price will be is based on old information. And also, buyers. You're going to have to deal with buyers who are basically fearful of catching a falling knife. This is the reason all of you guys need to go into, frankly, panic mode and get your skills on, because we're entering into a very defined skills-based market and leaving with reckless abandon a relationships-based market. Julie, can you explain what that means?
Yeah, well, so you're going to have to explain some of these pricing statistics. and you're going to have to explain why maybe it's not a great idea to base your pricing on, you know, I mean, Austin, for example, had a great run of, what has it been, between 5 and 12% quote appreciation per year for like a decade. Well, so you're going to have to explain how this year you don't just get to throw 12% on the top and expect to get it.
That's right.
And do that in such a way that you're also not losing the listing over it. So your skills are going to be more important than relationships. A relationship might get you the opportunity, but the skill is going to make sure that you're the one that wins it.
So let's say the undereducated, or let's say the more, let's call it slightly ill-informed. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be nice with my words here. Agent will not tell the seller what the reality is of the pricing, just to get the listing. And so during this, you know, transition from the old market to the new market, you guys are going to have to learn how to have nuanced approaches and conversations with sellers so that you, to Julie's point, don't end up, you know, essentially having to buy the listing to get the listing. And at the same time, you don't make the seller think you don't believe in the house. That's what all sellers say when you don't get a listing because you are being overly, you know, maybe you thought the hill you were going to die on was, I'm not going to take the listing because the seller wouldn't list it at my price. And if you guys ever hear that, or if you ever think that, you are absolutely making a colossal mistake. There is no your price, okay? That's just your ego. And I see this happen all the time, especially inexperienced agents. We'll just take the sanctimonious, holier-than-thou approach, and then they go on Facebook and other real estate groups, and then they almost
and brag about it.
Yeah, and they like virtue signal to fellow realtors that they're somehow, you know, not going to put an overpriced house in the market. And it's like, hello? Okay, so let's say, for example, there was an agent that had the skill set to deal with the seller's emotions. And maybe the seller's emotions would have been placated had they just listed the house for a little bit overpriced for a short period of time. And there's lots of scripts to go with that. Mr. Seller, I absolutely understand why you think your house is worth more than what the market is telling us. I completely understand. I mean, now that I've been in it, it's a wonderful house. I completely believe in your house. And there is a possibility that there'll be a buyer that also believes in it at that offering price. So let's do this. Let's list the house at the price that you feel comfortable. And after 2 weeks or 10 showings, whichever comes first, we can reposition the house in the market so that it correctly reflects the buyer's expectations. That is a script. That is what you're going to need to say. That is what you're going to need to learn how to think. You're not lying to the seller about the value of the house. You're not beating the seller with your CMA saying, I'm right, you're wrong, which is the inexperienced, ignoramus way of basically approaching that. What you're doing is you're giving the seller something that you're letting them try their price. And you know what? Miracle of miracle, you might not be right about your price. Your CMA might be wrong.
Well, especially in a changing market where there's still low inventory, you might for a while have a shot of actually selling it for that. But again, the point here is that you're not losing the listing over, you know, dying on that hill. You're still getting it, and you're still, quote, believing in the house and believing in what the seller wants to do within reason. You don't want to go massively overpriced.
Right.
And rolling the dice. Now, it's interesting, Tim, that you use that exact script, because I think that we've done that 3 or 4 times in Premier Coaching already this week, because the higher end stuff isn't moving like it was. The condo market isn't moving like it was. And typically that's where it starts and then trickles down into the rest of it. The other thing that these guys have to watch with their skills is that, you know, that CoreLogic report was saying that the blended depreciation or price flattening would be between 1 and 2%. That's countrywide, right? In that same article, it said places like Phoenix and Vegas and Miami may suffer 7 or 8% decline. So you're going to have to know your own exact stats, not just in your town, but in the neighborhood for your subject properties.
This is why we say you're entering into a skills-based market. And this is where, I'll tell you, the agents that suffer the most are the agents that are reliant on buying leads and centers of influence and past clients, which, by the way, I know I just essentially described 100% of you. Because most of you guys listening have only come up in the real estate industry since essentially it was a seller's market. In a seller's market, guys, the relationship is what matters. If you know the seller, or if you get a referral towards the seller, you're going to get the business. In a market like what we're entering into, you might have the relationship that might send you the referral, but the seller won't list with you because you don't have the skill set. They're going to sense your lack of professionalism because you're not going to have a pre-listing pack. You're not going to have known how to pre-qualify them, ask the seller's motivation, ask all the things we teach you how to do to have a skills-based business. I'm going to tell you guys a true story. I could actually read this. This was texted to me by one of our an agent who's probably the number one agent in North Carolina. And he texted me and said, Tim, I now completely understand why you try to coach agents to understand the importance of being a listing agent. And the gist of it was, is he got a call, like a panic series of texts from an agent who drove something like 90 minutes with their buyer to show a listing in his market that he just put for sale. Now, this listing agent got there at 6:30. I'm sorry, buyer's agent got there at 6:30 in the morning, did not know whether the house was still for sale, did not call him ahead of time to find out if it was still listed, did not have a super key that would work to open the lockbox, because the lockboxes don't open up till, I think he said, 8 o'clock or something like that. So look at the desperation that that buyer's agent had. Whereas had the agent been the listing agent, like my coaching client Chuck was, do you think he would, you know, that's not the life of a listing agent. The life of a listing agent is calm, cool, control, and cash. And if you guys don't get that by now, you're going to get that, because the buyer's market is going to torture you, because these buyers are the first ones that basically drop out of the market. They're the ones that get the most nervous. They're the ones that say, I'll just stay renting. Or if they're not, if they're an existing owner and they're not truly motivated to move up or whatever, they're not going to sell either. People are just going to cool their jets. This is the reason all your, if you guys are, you're entering, you're coming out of your, you know, your forced quarantines and you're entering back into the market and you're saying, I'm going to attack and I'm going to attack. You're not knowing what to do. And you're going to do what you tried to do before the quarantine, and you're going to go chase buyers and buyer leads. You're going to starve. That's what's going to happen. Use this time now to do the thing, do the real work of real estate, make yourself uncomfortable, learn to be a proactive lead generator, and absolutely start learning how to do the things we teach you how to do. We teach you how to go after 20 distinct sources of business that are all focused on taking listings. In the market that we're entering into, you have to be a listing agent. If you're looking for immediate action, I want you to do this. This is the simplest thing you can do, and it doesn't cost you anything. First of all, join the free coaching program that we've started offering at the beginning of the pandemic. Just text the word survival to 31996. Text the word survival to 31996. Go ahead and do that now. Text the word survival to 31996. And when you do, we're going to text you back a link that allows you to join the free coaching program. Within the free coaching program is the 90-day massive action plan. Julie, can you describe to them what that is?
Yeah, so the 90-day massive action plan first takes your temperature to see where you are right now. What has your production been so far? You know, what have you saved? What's your track record for listings and buyer sides? How are you doing? And then it makes you figure out what you have to earn for the rest of the year. What would be nice based on your goals to earn for the rest of the year, divided by your net, your personal net average commission, will tell you how many transactions you need to do and what you've got to do in the next 90 days to do it. And then it forces you into time management, looking at your schedule. What are your sources of business going to be? How many contacts you got to make per day? And then your job is to execute the plan, not to get ready to get started to do the plan, not to do the plan and then shove it in your desk never to be looked at again, but to actually do what your plan says.
And here, I'm going to tell you guys another mistake I see a lot of agents, well, they always make this, but especially now, is that they spend too much time, to Julie's point, getting ready to get started. You don't have time to learn and then try to earn. You have to learn while you're earning.
Yeah.
We want you to fumble into the market, forcing yourself to be uncomfortable, making mistakes, tripping over your words, being uncomfortable, and the pressure of not being embarrassed or rejected will force you to learn faster. The worst thing you can do right now is use the next few months to learn, and then you're going to go out there and do the real work of real estate. Don't do that. You don't have the luxury of time. Unless you're sitting on a big backlog of cash, which I'm sure none of you are, and if you're planning on borrowing money to stay afloat, and if you're just, you guys, look, stop screwing around, stop procrastinating. The number one thing all of you must be doing is taking action. Any action is better than sitting on your hands and hoping and praying. You've got to get into action. You have to prepare. Do you have another story, Julie?
Well, and Tim, that's exactly why we have the daily coaching call. We help agents that are earning while they're learning, learning while they're earning. And, you know, oftentimes the cases on the call will be, I think I'm a little fish out of water. What do? I need help. What's the strategy? What's the script? How can you assist me? So that's why we have daily coaching. You're not there alone.
And you get that for free with the free coaching program.
Exactly.
And please, existing Premier members, know that this is the free program is just a smidge of what you guys get. But again, the free coaching program is a great place for all of you guys to get back into massive action now. And here we have some good news, but we're going to sort of give you the counterbalance to this good news. Go ahead, Julie.
Yes. So a little bit of good news here. Jobless claims fall to 1.5 million. That's still a lot of jobless claims. But as states process their backlogs, it was the 10th consecutive weekly decline and the lowest reading since the COVID-19 pandemic started shuttering schools and workplaces in mid-March. So continuing claims measuring the total number of people receiving unemployment benefits eased by 340,000. And it's still at about 21 million based on the Labor Department reports.
Now, here's the thing. When you guys hear about all these, the jobless this and the jobless that, and they're making it, trying to make it sound like occasionally that they're new jobs that are happening. They aren't new jobs that are happening. These are just people that are coming back to work. Now, whether those businesses stay in business or whether those jobs stay, you know, relevant and those people don't end up getting canned again, who knows? How many of these people going back to work are so that, frankly, the PPP goes from being right. a loan to a grant? Who knows? I'm guessing a hell of a lot.
It's too soon to tell because right. it hasn't run its course yet. But, you know, maybe a glimmer of hope.
Yes, we're hoping and praying, certainly. But the reality of it is we're going to probably see in the next, you know, quarter or whatnot that the predictions that we're going to see of a starting to have a precipitous slowdown in the economy probably will play out. We certainly hope and pray that's not true, but at this point, it does not look like there's going to be anything more than a continuation of a changing market. Julie?
That's right. So back to HousingWire for a moment. Home builder challenges vary by state. There's a lot of major obstacles. So one might wonder, if we've got low inventory, why don't the builders just build the daylights out of it and fix our low inventory problem? And I think there are areas where that's happening. Las Vegas is full of tons and tons of new construction. Albuquerque, we have a coach that lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She reports lots of that. So it really depends on the state. But especially on the East Coast and in California, it's the cost of building, the cost of material. And, you know, one of the things that the builders were reporting in this article is that it's been hard for them to find good labor. Now, here's the flip side again. Is that because of the pandemic, they said, for example, we're starting to see a little bit of a shift there regarding the labor force in the past 60 days. Someone that came to them was laid off from a Marriott hotel as a chief engineer. They came over and worked on the job site. We're seeing this a lot with firefighters because they can't train virtually as a firefighter. So firefighter trainees who can't train right now are going to construction sites. So that's kind of a weird twist of the labor force. But again, that's not going to go on forever. So the builders have several challenges. One is the material cost of material has gone up. Secondly, especially on the East Coast, New Jersey is one of the joke there is if you can build in New Jersey, you can build in any state because they have so much red tape to being allowed to build anything. And every town and every county in New Jersey has different rules. So it's just hard to do business there. And that's why we don't have new construction just cropping up everywhere. Is because it's a state-by-state problem.
And so, like, if you're in a Miami right now, and Julie and I are looking for, we're starting to watch different markets around the country like we did back in 06 and 07, thinking about where we're going to buy investment properties. But we've been studying Miami, and specifically the condos that are down, you know, down near the tourist zone, frankly. Because that gives us a lot of options. You know, we can have a long-term tenant in there. We could stay in there. It could be a VRBO, all that good stuff. And I'll tell you what I'm seeing, and I don't know, we probably looked at a couple hundred, is that these properties are sitting on the market, oftentimes selling for, or they're asking the same that they were asking for 3-4 years ago. And I have news for you. If you're living in Miami, the price now is not, if your place has been for sale for a year or 2 years,
or
you're the third listing agent, the price is not what it sold for in 2017 or 2018. It's less. So you need to have a seller conversation where they're going to understand the importance of lowering the price now. You need to explain to them that they might be in a situation where the property is going to be worth a lot less next year if they don't actually cut prices. Because what's going to happen is it's only going to take a few sellers in each building to basically say, I've done waiting, dropping the prices, and then the dominoes start to fall. Do you, agents, know how to have those conversations? Or are you trying to convince yourself, I don't want to be a listing agent, the properties don't sell. The properties do sell for the listing agents to know how to get them priced correctly, so they'll sell. And you then have to go back and know how to pre-qualify your sellers. These are all the things that you're supposed to be learning in a new market like this. And guys, I have great news for you. Once you learn how to do the things we teach you to do in our coaching program, it's pretty damn straightforward. You're going to have the same conversation over and over and over again. We have created a system that you can follow. This system follows conversational outlines. It's based on asking questions, but everything's been created for you. Our coaching program is not just a big idea fest. We're going to tell you the latest and greatest, you know, Facebook marketing idea. Our system is a literal turnkey real estate business system. By the way, for those of you who have not purchased our book, Harris Rules, this is the 12-month anniversary of the book. Did you realize that?
I did. Yes. Yep.
So
I'm still feeling relieved that that's all done.
Yeah, I know. So there's over, I think there's around 400, I haven't looked in a long time, over 400 five-star reviews on Amazon. It's for sale at Barnes & Noble. We've seen it for sale everywhere. I think Barnes & Noble's reordering for the third time. So make sure you guys get the book, Harris Rules. The easiest way, obviously, is just to order it on Amazon. And our publisher did assure us that it's going to be coming out in audiobook form towards the end of the year. But don't wait for that. Get the book. Yeah. I've had so many of you have told us that you basically are building your business around the book in our coaching program. That's the reason we wrote it for you. That's the exact blueprint. Even though the book is green, we can call it the exact blueprint for your yeah. success. Yeah, it's a beautiful shade.
Yeah, well, so here's what we aimed to do in the book is to alleviate some of the confusion and the overwhelm that agents on every level, whether you got your license yesterday or whether you've been in the business for 30 years, to alleviate some of that confusion and stress. You guys get all kinds of stuff thrown at you all the time. So Harris Rules are rules for things like generating business. What are the rules that you should follow? What about time management? Yes, you can be in control. So get that book today. It's going to really connect the dots for you in a lot of different ways. So,
The number one thing I hear from people who read the book and listen to our podcast is it gives them permission to start ignoring the stuff that they always suspected was crap in the first place.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the aims.
Right. Exactly. Book, so what we do, guys, is we do clear the clutter. We make it so that you have laser focus, myopic laser focus on what it's going to take to make money in this market because of this market. So get the book, Harris Rules. Do you have any other stories?
Another little glimmer of hope, an existing polio vaccine could help protect against coronavirus. This is one of the things that they're studying. And in fact, I haven't looked up all the facts on this yet, but it talks about how the polio vaccine actually protects kids in particular against a whole bunch of other stuff too that they've discovered. So they're like, well, if it works for all this stuff, maybe it'll work for coronavirus too. So that's kind of interesting. And then I had a little side article here. When it comes to outer space, America is back, and reading about the...
This is what you love and what you hate?
Well, it could be a what I love thing. Of course, it's not letting me open it because it was the wrong kind of format. But they were talking about how all the different innovations, right? The fact that using the SpaceX rocket is reusable. Before, you would take off and it would fall into the ocean, and that's literally watching millions and millions of dollars just, you know, sink to the bottom of the sea, and now we have to go build a new one. But their stuff is reusable. That makes it a lot more efficient and less expensive. So that's, you know, I think it's pretty awesome.
Maybe one of these days, maybe on our Sunday podcast, I'll have Julie, or I'll have her do her Yoda voice, because she is that much of a nerd.
She
had the SpaceX launch pretty much live on her computer the entire day waiting for it to take off.
Yeah.
But it's cool stuff.
Really cool.
But the reason it is interesting is from the sort of analytical scientific, you know, thing. But the other reason it's cool, amazing actually, is because one man essentially, Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he did all that in 10 years.
Yeah.
From having the idea, I'm going to be able to do this, to actually launching it. And I also think it's a great American story also.
Well, I don't think I shared this in the podcast, but he was one of the founders of PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold, and another guy sold their, you know, PayPal, and I forget how much they sold it for. But Elon goes on to say that he basically put all the money down on three things: SolarCity, Tesla cars, and SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
And after he essentially invested all of his money in these three different companies, he didn't have enough money to pay his rent. That was awesome.
Well, and that's from, I can't remember the exact name of the book that we listened to on audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting. There were a lot of things I didn't know, or maybe I just assumed about Elon Musk because he gets all, you know, certain types of press, people talking about him. But that he really, that's a real story, you know, in relatively recent times. Even though he's a gajillionaire now, he couldn't pay his rent. And he had like 20 different investors that bailed him out. And he called people and he's like, friends. You know, friends.
He borrowed from friends
and family. He borrowed from friends and family. I had no idea that that was the case. I just assumed that, you know, PayPal made him a multimillionaire and he ran with it.
Yeah. I think he sold his portion for like $300 million and he invested in all these different companies or something like that.
Yeah, but talking about thinking big.
Yeah, well, there was an occurrence in like maybe the last 2 years where essentially there was a problem with Tesla's funding. Mm-hmm. And he was essentially all of his bad press, car sales were screwed up, all these things were happening. And supposedly the rumor is going around that he put in a lot of his personal money to keep things going. I mean, he literally probably put himself back to zero again. Yeah. And then essentially he made a deal with the board that if he hit certain sales milestones, basically from him, you know, being possessed about accomplishing goals with Tesla, that he would get certain incremental bonuses. And I believe the amount of money that he got in bonus from that essential almost crash in the last 2 years was to the point where he essentially has put it in an incredible trajectory, sort of like SpaceX, was close to $1 billion.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, just the numbers alone of the ups and downs. And, you know, that guy's obviously a risk taker and a big thinker. And I just think it's the whole thing's inspirational and patriotic, and you know what one person can do. And he's still, isn't he 50 or less?
Yeah, he's younger than us by a couple of years.
Yeah, but
just put this in perspective. So agents are listening to us right now. Mm-hmm. They're hearing us talk about this mythical Elon Musk, who is a contemporary to all of us, right?
Yeah,
and yet. Some of you guys are afraid of calling a FSBO. I mean, if you're not all laughing,
put that in perspective, right?
If you're not all laughing at yourselves right now because of the, you know, irrational fear, it's all in your head.
It is all made up. It's not real fear. I mean, think about what those astronauts were thinking as they were sitting on the pad ready to take off. You know, I don't want to call somebody. I'm too scared.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I just think it's good to keep it all in perspective.
Hey, so I have another. Here's what I love. Today is the first day Julie could go in and get her hair fixed. And so she's fine fixed.
I don't look like a stray cat anymore.
She's been looking like a stray Puerto Rican cat, you know, with 14 different shades. Yeah, calico.
Yes.
And so she's finally getting rid of her quarantine hair.
Yes.
So that's what I love.
I'm going out into the wild. And what, you know, under the category of what we love, this is our first weekend in Puerto Rico where everything is not completely and utterly locked down.
Yeah.
We still have curfews and there's still a two-week re-entry quarantine if you travel. I think restaurants are allowed to be at 50% now, so they're kind of easing their way towards it, and we'll just see how things go. But it's exciting to be allowed out again.
And listen, listeners, listen to what we suggested to you the other day. Go completely media-free. Step away from the news. Do not throw down with either side. Do not get political.
There's a lot of crazy out there right now.
Listen to the podcast that we did yesterday. I think it will make a lot of you feel better knowing that you don't have to participate in all the dissension and all the arguing and the bickering and the partisan behavior. Don't do it. Your job and your highest purpose of, you know, certainly all humans' highest purpose, but yours in this capacity as a real estate professional is to be of service to other people. Is that where your mind is? Or is your mind stuck in some other, you know, far off distant place where you feel like you're supposed to be, you know, championing some cause that really doesn't have anything to do with you? So we're not being political. We never will. We're not being partisan. We never will. We're not telling you even what our beliefs are. We never will. Our highest and truest purpose is to be of service to you. And our highest and truest purpose as such is for us to remain neutral on all topics, and maybe, just maybe, you should consider doing the same thing. Don't talk about the drama. Don't associate yourself with the drama. Focus forward on being of service to other people. If you're looking for a modern day representation of how great all of us can be, Elon Musk, okay? And I know some of you have tried to, you know, politicize Elon Musk. But hey, he just freaking sent a rocket ship to the space station. And now he's working on finalizing essentially what it amounts to, a new version of the space shuttle that's going to take humans to the moon and to Mars. Okay? Yeah. So you don't have really any crap that you can toss his way, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. All
right, guys. You have a fantastic day. Your homework is, if you've not done so yet, text the word survival to 31996. And put the 90-day massive action in place. And if you want to join Julie and I's EXP family, please text me directly at 512-758-0206. Thank you, and have a fantastic day. Anything you want to say to these guys, Julie, before?
Have a great weekend. Get ready for Monday. Going to lather, rinse, repeat, I hope.
Listen to our Sunday podcast, guys. We're getting a lot of great feedback on it. So listen to the past ones. They're, I think, intentionally a little bit zany, but some of you guys are really liking our free-flowing style on those podcasts. And if it's a little too wacky for you, well, I understand too. God bless. Have a great day.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.